you very much, Mr. Wes Tedder. Let's turn in your hymnals, if you will, to hymn number 512. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, unalienable means cannot be transferred, taken away, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson had written life, liberty, and property. He was talked out of property and by the tensions of the time, and so put pursuit of happiness. I wished he had stayed with property, because property is extremely important to freedom. Nevertheless, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, desiring their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends. This may be where we're headed in our own country right now. It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transcendent causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evidenced a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards and their future security. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assemblies, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the restitute of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections be between them and the state of Great Britain, is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do, and for the support of this declaration with a firm alliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, signed by the signers of the Declaration of Independence. That was in 1776. Not very long after that, and about 25 years after Britain acknowledged the freedom of America, Britain decided they were going to attack again in the War of 1812. 1813, a man named Francis Scott Key and John Spingle were asked to go aboard a British vessel and talk about prisoner exchange. While on that ship, Francis Scott Key heard the plans for September the 13th to take Baltimore. He was not allowed to leave the ship. On the morning of September the 13th at 6 a.m., the British started a 25-hour bombardment of Fort St. McHenry, which was the fort to the harbor of Baltimore. And they bombed all day Saturday, all day the 13th, into the night. And that caused Francis, and they were told by the captain of the ship, maybe there'll be no discussion of prisoner exchange because that flag will not be flying over McHenry in the morning. And therefore there will be no discussion of prisoner exchange. So this alarmed a young lawyer, Francis Scott Key, and he kept looking over the edge of the ship and looking to see if he could see that flag. And in the dawn of the morning, he saw the flagpole had been hit by one of the shells, one of the rounds, but that the flag still hung. But I want us to sing 512, the Star Spangled Banner, and just think of the things from his perspective as he looked and watched and how meaningful this was to him on a British vessel. So let's stand and sing 512.
Thank you.
John Hinz told me, I think there have been 60 verses written to the Star Spangled Banner. We're not going to sing all 60, but we sang the first two, so that was all right. Let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves as to why we're here, what we're here for, and just to make everything a true worship of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have to assemble ourselves and to interpret the scriptures as was led by the Holy Spirit, not fear at this point of any law being broken, any intrusion, military force. We value this freedom, Father. We do not take it for granted. It has been provided for us by our military personnel. It's the foundation of our country. So we value this freedom that we're enjoying right now, Father. We pray now that your Spirit will guide us, empower us, and lead us, that all that we do this morning will be honoring and glorifying to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I got several things that I want to do this morning. First of all, we had a great week at camp. I mean, it was just super. To see some young people, I mean 11 to 12, accept Jesus Christ as Savior for the first time, some hearing the gospel for the first time, and it was just a whole lot of fun and just really, really powerfully spiritual. Let's go ahead and get this now and share this. It's going to take a few moments, but the theme of the camp this year was grace. Last year it was faith. This year it was grace. And who can guess what I put my vote in for the theme next year? Love. Yeah, good. All right. Big, hard decision. And I don't know what it's going to be, but that was my input on it. And told them that I wanted a lot of hours to teach. And so they just kind of looked at me, but it was just so wonderful. And got to tell you, people, and just in the respect of spiritual gifts, in the respect of God using this humble assembly, we were a vital part. Most of the kids came from Texas, and most from our area. We had some Spring Valley Bible shirt t-shirts, and the first day green outdid the black shirts that they had for the camp. And as far as teachers and counselors and helpers, it just this assembly just shined. And want to thank Chris and Laura Day. They just did an unbelievable job. Last year we have a little period where we have canoeing, and last year we just, Dan and Grady and I just sort of wanted to keep everybody alive. That was our objective. Not really to teach them a whole lot, just how to stay alive and keep that life jacket on, And Chris, and I learned a lot about Chris. He grew up doing camps and all that, and he said there were days I just lived in the water, and canoeing, swimming, boating, all this stuff. And he had a canoe races and all kinds of things. And Dan and I kind of wondered, what are we doing here? But it was just a lot of fun. You'll see some of the activities that the young children did. But the teaching was super. They broke it up. What was the youngest age? 9 to 11 was the first group, the younger group. 9 to 11, and then 12 to 15. 12 to 15. And it was just... They were just so well-mannered. It was just amazing. There was this big float. I don't know if we have a picture of it or not. I forgot to look for it. There's this big, gigantic float not far from the pier where we got into the canoes. But it was uninsured. And so we just made it a point. You cannot get on it. I want to tell you, I was totally shocked. Not one got on it. Now, I want to tell you something. If I'd have been there as a kid... I probably would have broken that rule, and I'd have gotten in a lot of trouble. But they didn't. It was just amazing, and there was just no real discipline And it was just, and it just from all walks of life, inner city kids, and it was just amazing. And I think every aspect of it was absolutely super. And Judith Maddox taught the younger children, and I was very happy about that. And Pat said that it would not have ran as well as it did without the work of Terry. And, I mean, she just couldn't have been done. And y'all might want to be a little fearful. They might be turning it over to y'all next year. I don't know. But it was just, it was really, really super. And Sunday morning I spoke at Dan's church on the faithfulness of God. Got some good comments from that. And it just really was a superb time. And this man made up a brief show. I have a disc of 800 pictures if anyone's interested, but this is just give you a flow of what was going on at the camp. Yes. Oh, this was really fun. They had some Russian young people there, and so they're talking, and this is Pat Hill, and this Russian girl picked up her Bible. And she looked on there, and her Bible was given to her by Pat Hill over 10 years ago. And she didn't even know Pat Hill was going to be there or anything. They just, very emotional. And that was really dramatic. Yes? Please. Oh, yeah. Yes. In July? This month, I mean? Wow. Very good, Jenny. That's fantastic. Very good. Oh, Cameron, why don't you give them a report from a young person's viewpoint?
On the camp.
You were there.
every day we woke up 7 in the morning, or before 7, I guess. Grady woke us up with a big yell. Everybody better get up now or I'm going to come rip you out of your bed. So you were up and then got ready, took a shower if you had time. And then you went down and we had flag ceremony on the basketball courts. That lasted about, went from anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes. And then, so they would talk to us about what the colors represented, or Francis Scott Key, like Pastor Max was telling us about today. And then after that, we went to breakfast. Breakfast was probably 30 minutes long. Then we had Bible class. And then probably 2 hours of free time after that where you could go swimming is what we usually went and did every day. And they had a high dive and a low dive. Just the shallow end where everybody could talk and swim at the same time. And after that, went back. We got dry clothes on, and then we had another Bible class. And then we had lunch. And then Pat would usually give us a little bit of free time. It wasn't on the schedule, but schedule changed a lot.
And Bible class again.
We had skills activities, which my mom and dad did. And we had like a triathlon type thing. The first day was a watermelon relay where you had to take a watermelon down the pool and back. The second day we had a canoe relay. You got in like a team of six, and then you would swap off. You'd have to go around the big thing that you can't get on. You had to go around that, get your flag, come back, and then swap off. They had to go around to get their flag. And then the last day we had a ski race, which is two boards and a rope, and you had to work together to get that board off the ground and go in the loop. And then after that, after the skills, we had another Bible class, and then we had dinner.
Another Bible class.
Oh, yeah, then dinner. Oh, and the last night we had a talent show, which a lot of people were involved in that with skits, or we had two people that played their guitars and sung. We had another people sing to us, and we had skits, a lot of skits. And they were all God-related in how each person doesn't deserve what God gave us, but He did it anyway. And then after that, that was on the last night, we would have things going instead of the talent show every other night. It was all different things. And then after that, they said it was bedtime, but really, we were supposed to be in bed at 10:30, and nobody went to sleep. We need a couple kids to go to sleep until 12:30 to 1. Right, Dad?
I want to be careful what you say in front of your dad.
And then, probably got a couple hours of sleep. But the last night was unofficially called prank night. Had a lot of pranks. The boys got the girls in the cabin, and we
rented wrap our luggage together.
Oh, and ran wrap their luggage, wrote on their windows with a bar of soap. What did it say?
It said, "We'll be back." Then we got them.
With silly string, and that's too bad because they had to clean it up.
That's really bad.
Oh, yeah, they got our sleeping bags and pillows while we were having the talent show. Or dancing, I guess. They took our sleeping bag and pillows, and I don't know where they... Oh, you put them in the girls' room. Oh, put them in our car.
You want to realize that they were not supposed to be over there, and the girls weren't supposed to be over the boys' side, so you got to realize these things.
Oh, Miss Pat's rule was you could not do any pranks unless it had been approved by her.
Boring.
Approved usually meant to Miss Pat that it wasn't going to happen to her. But I got whipped cream the night. Somehow, I don't know, but I must have been out by 10:30 that night. Okay, 11:30. They took whipped cream, and I don't know if they stuck it on my hand or my face, but it ended up on my face. And ended up on my bed. And had to clean that up. That stuff smelled. That was nasty. I took a shower.
We're glad.
And then every day after that, we would wake up again for 6:30 to Grady's room.
Thank you. All right. Thomas, give us your perspective.
It's basically the same except you forgot song time.
Song time.
We have a jumping church.
Oh, yeah. We're a hyper old.
Thomas,
yeah.
Hey, Herman did okay with that story, but you tell the real story.
The Russian kid.
Okay. This is great.
My best story was that there was a kid there from that had just moved there from about a year ago. He moved here from like the U.S. about a year ago from Russia, and it was his parents and all that. But there was another, he was a friend of one kid, that's why he came to the camp. And it was over, and they were saying that just a few months ago you couldn't even speak English, you know, you speak it pretty well and understand it a lot pretty well, you know. But he had in his Bible, it had Cass Hill's name in it, and it was in a place he went, it was like, I think in like 1992 or so, they went on a missions trip to Belarus, Russia, which was where he was from, and Pat gave a Bible to a person who just accepted Savior. And so she had a Bible and she signed her name in it and gave it to her. And then it turns out that that was the Constantine's mom. Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't even born yet. This kid wasn't even born yet when she went over there and gave the gospel.
And they had no idea that they were going to meet back up with
him. Because she too
just ended up at this camp.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And she sees the name in the Bible.
I like that backhanded compliment. Herman did okay, but Thomas, you tell him what really happened. I got that backhanded compliment. I got that.
Did you hear Thomas said, my version of the story.
Mackenzie, do you mind telling him about the younger classes?
That wasn't our fault.
We didn't get flooded out this year. Thank you very much, darling. I appreciate that. Yes, Mrs. Maddox.
I have one thing to say. Ms. McKenzie was in our group of children, and I mean, they would ask questions, and she was there with the answer. And one of the ladies from a different church came up to me and said, wow, those kids have had some great teachings. And McKenzie was right on every time. It was pretty awesome. I was
proud
of her.
You'd be proud of all of our young people. I mean it. And see, I just learned something. I was lectured on the way to church. Do not call on me to say anything. Do not call me up. And then she just volunteers to talk. Man, why? What? So I learned something today. Good grief. I don't know if that means don't listen to them or be careful when you listen to them or what. I'll have to... I had to change your mind. Yes.
God said the spirit moves.
The spirit moves. All right. The camp is outside of Tulsa, and to save money, because we pay for everyone really that spends the night, that's how they gauge it. So Dan and I to save the camp some money, we would drive to Dad's house, sleep in a nice, quiet bed and air conditioned and all that. And I got informed that now they have a dorm that most of the kids and the teachers don't stay, but then they had an overflow, so they had to go down to another little area, an old dorm. And I was informed that the shower had bugs all in it, and it worked on how many seconds? You push a button, and water goes out. Said, you can no way you could come do your hair. And so I heard all about that, and I didn't want to tell her how nice it was at Dad's house. But, okay, I'm going to pull something on Thomas and Cameron, see if we got it. One.
Library.
Two. Woo! Amen. Yay! It's just funny because Dan talked to me. They know me as a teacher. Stand up here, Greek, Hebrew, and go through points and all that. But something happens when I get in front of kids. You can't teach them that way. One, they'll fall asleep. And they're not going to... And so I just went in and we just had a good time, interacted. Going to learn a verse. I didn't just give them the verse. Every time, we go, one, my grace, two, you've been saved through faith. And then we talk about it. And it's very interesting. Some of them didn't know. They knew the verse. They knew what they were being saved from, too, and why they needed to be saved, and about sin and righteousness and holiness of God. So we had a good time. We had a very good time in the instruction classes. Okay, here's the point. Well, I got to do this. Now that you've heard their report, let's see if I can figure this out here. And okay, let me get back on the. Yeah, without having to do all this. Let me see here. Okay. See the girl in the white? That's who I promised I'd marry. And then when I went there married, she let me know she did not appreciate it. That's the singing. See how they're clapping? We got charismatic. I don't know who that couple is. Green. Yes, trying. I meant to get music to go with this. So I don't know how to do that. Just turn on the radio. Turn on the radio. The black gentleman there has a prison ministry in Tennessee. There's a newlywed couple. There's Dan and Pat. Can't really make out too many people there. That's out at the basketball court where we met for the flag ceremony every morning. This is the activities we wanted for the younger children. As it's for the younger children. It really is wonderful to have someone come to Christ as Savior. And all of this stuff was new to. other guy on the right there is sharp. He's a sharp kid. Let's see, two, maybe three. How many? Four? Four churches, okay. There's Jeannie. And if you see this guy right here on the corner here, you saw him in the last picture. He's 16, 1 year over, and doesn't go to Dan's church there, Southwood Bible Church. But he was invited to another day by this girl right here in the red shirt and at their church. And he heard about the camp and he said, "Can I come?" This is the man that has a Tennessee prison ministry. He has a really unbelievable testimony of drugs and horrible things that went on. There we are out canoeing. It was a lot of fun. And Chris just did a great job on instructing and how to paddle and told them all about the canoe, what to do when it turned over. Don't panic. The canoe will not sink, so just stay near it. What? How'd he get in there? He doesn't know what he's doing. There was Grady and the chow line. There's Carl and Keithian, Tennessee ministry. There's some of the young people. They're singing, if you don't know. They're not in pain. She's praying that it'll go well. It's Alexis. There's Alana. That's Rhonda. She's been here and talked to us about missions. There's Abby. That's Dan's dog. Wonderful dog. Wonderful dog. There's kind of the song director and got us all doing all kinds of jumping and hollering. This is a visiting pastor out of Tulsa. And he goes to Africa a lot, and that's how Dan and he met and had him come in and speak one evening. Now, this guy is a pain in the neck, but when he sits down to play that piano, he wrote the classic music piece that he played. Yeah, that was a talent show. That is Cameron with the hat on. Oh, yeah. They made me put that on. This is a skit night. Skit night. Notice our little booklet they used to do a skit with. That's two people. That's not all one shirt. That's not all me. That's the flag in the morning. It's one of the young people from Russia. There's Jeannie. There's Jeannie. That's Keithian. Tennessee ministry. Now we're out at the pool. We had to swim in the morning because the pool right beside the dorm where we were didn't work. So they took a bus and took us down to the main pool, which turned out really cool. Looks like she's skiing. Do what? Not a high dive and low dive. We had to swim early in the morning because they had the pool scheduled all day. They didn't know that we were going to have to come down there because they didn't know the pool where we were, the pump was going to go out. And so they told us the only time they had was 10:30, wasn't it, Chris? 10 o'clock, yeah. When you're young, you adjust to cold water quickly. Pat got thrown into the water with her cell phone on. It was fun. Down at the basketball court where they had activities. Ski contest. Mackenzie. There's Mackenzie. That's a wild picture, red eyes. Okay. This kid on the right here was acting like Grady in his skit, and the guy was acting like Keithian in the skit. These guys hadn't been playing but about 2 months. One of their dads is a big entertainer in was in California. Okay, turn on the lights here. Turn this off. Huh? Yeah. Turn it off. Yeah, we're through. Okay. So that's what camp composed of, and it was just a lot of fun. And I tell you what. You can be proud of your kids. They did well, and answering questions. I felt like I was ignoring Cameron and Mackenzie and Thomas because they were always raising their hand. I know. In fact, they got to where they'd look around and see if anybody else was going to raise their hand. They didn't, and they'd raise their hand. I'd call on them, but I was just so proud that they knew the answers. That was just really powerful. Okay, let's talk about prayer and get through our, go through some of the people that need prayer. First of all, Tish, how you doing?
Well, I swear to God, I think I got a good report.
You think you got a good report?
Well,
were you there?
I'm trying to understand it. I got an email from the doctor. I sent him the disc from the CT scan, and they viewed it, and he said that it was very informative, and that the tissue wasn't as deep in the soft tissue as they had previously thought. Yeah.
Okay.
And that he was going to talk to my doctor here, and they would keep me informed of what they decide.
Very good.
And
okay.
I don't know what they're going to decide.
All right.
But it sounded good.
So we'd be in prayer about what next step that they're going to do. Okay.
And can I say one thing?
You can say whatever you like.
Can I come up there?
No, no, no.
On the ride home, Terry and I went to pick the kids up. And on the ride home, we had the girls with us, and Lori had the boys with her. And we were listening to a tape on the way up there, and it was a spiritual tape. Audio book, and it was called A Walk to Remember. It was about a teenage girl who was a believer, and she's the preacher's daughter, and how all the other kids made fun of her all these years. And on and on.
That's why I didn't have kids. I didn't want to be made fun of.
And so, but it was just such a good book. And so me and Terry wanted to hear the end of it. So we got the girls got in the car, and so I ran down to them what was going on and stuff. But it was so good because we were able to relate it to them in school.
Good.
As to, you know, what how people feel about them, you know, and talk about them and stuff like that, just because they believe in Jesus Christ. And so we didn't know if they were going to like this book or not, you know, because they're all used to watching videos and stuff in the car. And so we asked them, did they mind if we heard the end of it? So we turned it on, you know, and it came on and they started talking. And, you know, if we came to where we had to decide we had to turn left or right, we turn it off. And then make sure we turned it back on. Every time we saw it, they go, are you going to turn it back on? And they listened to the whole thing.
Good.
And I thought, God, these parents ought to buy these books instead of those videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they can still see the scenery, but their minds are thinking. Hmm. Anyway, I thought it was good. I don't have any little kids, but
what
I thought
was
it was good.
What was the name of it, the series?
It was called, it's not a series, it's just one book by the guy, Nicholas Spark, that did The Notebook. It was by him, A Walk to Remember.
Okay.
It's an excellent book.
All right. Okay, we need to be in prayer. Let's see.
Harold?
How's Harold?
Weaker.
Please be in prayer for Harold and Lily. My goodness, wow.
And Lila.
Lila. Yep. Need to be in prayer for both of them. Please be in prayer for Bill Hess. He's just be in prayer for all the Hesses. Just there, they all need our prayers right now in various ways. So just be in prayer for Tyson, in prayer for Paul, his family, Tyson, his family. And so just be in prayer for the Hesses. And any report on Vic since last week?
He's doing about the same.
About the same?
But he did ask that we do remember Jerry, his neighbor, that definitely has cancer, and he'll have surgery next week.
Okay. Be in prayer. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to bring up? Okay. We did. Yes.
A lot of kids were saved at this camp, and they're going to get to go back to the environments that they were in.
Oh.
Keep all of them in your prayers, because it was a powerful thing to watch these kids accept Jesus Christ, understand what was being said. And I had one kid that we talked about that was a neat kid, you know, Noah. And he, every day, he was just reading his Bible. Every morning, and he had been saved there. He had never been saved before, and he was saved there. And these kids are going to go back to the environment they came from, and a lot of them don't come from a nice environment. So keep them in your prayers around. You know, God puts his arms around them because they're going to need it.
Absolutely, Chris. I'm sorry, but just please do be in prayer. You don't know their names, you don't know them, but God does. And so just be in prayer. With, like I said, inner city people. Didn't even have their parents, lived with their grandparents, some of them. Just all kinds of difficulties. It's just so... It's so interesting, the difference when I was their age. And if you ask me things to be defended from and rescued from. And these kids, what would be rescued? Drive-by shooting. I'm going, gee, what a time. And drugs and sex and just all, and abuse and just sexual abuse, all kinds of things that we didn't even know about when I was their age. And so please be in prayer for the young people and be in prayer for next year's camp. And so just be in prayer. Yes.
Not to take from the camp, but I wanted to add Brian to the prayer list, but mostly for the people, doctors and people around him, to understand that medicine isn't a perfect science and we're still searching.
Yeah.
Because people are getting frustrated because Brian doesn't feel well, and we really need, he's going again tomorrow for another doctor. Yeah. And I just want to.
Very good. Very good. So please keep all of these in prayer. Keep the young people in prayer. Keep Dan and Pat in prayer. And John Hintz was not at this camp because he's doing an Arizona camp starting next week. So please be in prayer for John and his camp in Arizona. So got a lot of things going on with young people in the spiritual realm. It just gives you such, I don't know, hope. And you see these kids respond to the truth, respond to teaching, discipline, sitting there, not falling asleep, listening. It just, it was amazing. And as Cameron said, they stayed up late. So I guess it was it Wednesday or Thursday we had sleep in the afternoon. Anyway, it doesn't matter. One day, it just got, they came back from the basketball court and activities, and Grady and they said, hey, something's got to be done. We've had more fights, controversy in the last hour than we've had all week. So we need to do something. So Pat and Dan decided just to have a sleep time for about 35, 40 minutes in the afternoon. And I was surprised. I went up as to watch the boys, and just, they were asleep in the middle of the afternoon. I can't do that, but they were asleep. So they needed the time. And then that ended it. No more major fights or conflicts or anything like that. So it was just really great listening to them and watching. I taught the older, I taught the younger ones a couple of times, and just well-mannered, knew the answers. Okay, now today is the first Sunday of July, but as you see, we did not have communion. We're going to have communion next Sunday. Forget the whole here. I got hungry. Next Sunday, read it, and it's going to be... bring your favorite American dish. And I got to thinking, you know, maybe we should have had it because y'all could have brought what he had left over from yesterday. But next Sunday, we'll have communion and then have our fellowship time together in the church. And so, and by the way, Chris and Laura and I and Terry are going to talk about maybe getting back to a monthly meeting at my house and have some of them come over. And so just be in prayer about the young people in this church. And just see what maybe God can do and will do. And so bear that in your prayers too. But next Sunday we'll have communion and our dinner time together. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one, has personally accepted Christ as Savior, and two, knows how to be filled with the Spirit. It amazes me how so many preachers, and some of them pretty good in dealing with grace, but when it comes to the offertory, you got to give you 10%. Got to give it. But that's grace. No, that's not grace, people. One of the most important things that I did this week, with the older group especially, was you're going to have a lot of false teaching on what grace is as you grow up. You're going to have people tell you this is grace, and it's not grace. And so it's, in fact, the first day I had them with one, the false, two, true, and three, choice. You get to choose your which grace, how you see grace. And so, but the offertory is all grace. It's between you and God, especially God the Holy Spirit. You know, the things that we need to do with our young people, getting the word out. And so that is between you and the Lord. With these principles in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this facet of worship, we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved. The political economic freedom that we enjoy in America, that is the freedom to earn a profit and then to dispose of that profit as we see fit. We are so thankful for the establishment of our economic political system by our founding fathers. We are thankful, Father, for the military who has protected, provided this freedom throughout the history of this country. In fact, Father, we pray for those that are serving this country right now. Many are in harm's way. But, Father, we cross that freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For, Heavenly Father, it is in this sphere of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom, whom to marry and why, where to live and why, where to go to church and why. What to do with our money, what to do with our time. We have that freedom, but that freedom comes with grave responsibility. So, Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. How about now? Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Have to break one of my own principles. John Hinson and I have a principle that if you sing an announcements for 30 minutes, teaching should be at the minimum 31. So whatever you do, teaching should be longer. Well, I won't be able to fulfill that this morning, but let's at least get back into the momentum. I and Judith are just so thankful that we're going to be back now. I'm going to be in momentum of Sundays and Tuesday and Wednesday and Sunday, Tuesday and Wednesday. I tell people, we don't even know if we like each other. We haven't had to live alone for a solid week yet. And we've been traveling and going and traveling and going. So we're going to find out if we really like each other. So please be in prayer. And okay, Romans chapter 3, let's begin. Yes. Thank you. Well, that's good. Y'all been married. What was it last week that I was here and I missed it? 40 years? How many years? 41. Very good. Congratulations. 41 years. And they look so young. Good grief. Y'all could go another 40, 50. Very good. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer is very important. It's to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit and to open our eyes. When I spoke at Dan's church, I made the statement, and really didn't develop it too much, that all sins are forgiven at the cross. Everyone is born forgiven of sin. And a couple of people were confused because they thought forgiveness of sin was associated with salvation. So they thought I was saying everyone is born saved. And so I had to explain that to him, and I told Dan that I certainly wasn't teaching that, and if he gets any comments that didn't want to come and talk to me. But it's just so important that we understand the truth of when things happen, and that's the truth, and letting the Spirit open our eyes, we open this book. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open this text. There are many places on this earth they cannot. There are many places on this earth that they can, but they don't have a copy of the Bible in their own language. There are places where they're not allowed. There are places where they're not allowed to take some of the teaching and believe that teaching. So, Father, we do appreciate the freedom we're enjoying, and we pray now that the Spirit will open our eyes. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The Attorney General to classify pro-life, pro-gun Americans as terrorists. 7509. An amendment to a bill swiftly moving through the United States Congress will allow the Obama administration's Attorney General to classify Americans as domestic terrorists if they are pro-life, pro-gun, and anti-big government. Read it in a course. It's dangerous for this country. And one of the things I talk with the older kids, can't be ashamed of carrying this Bible. Can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if it's real to you and it's important to you, share it with other kids at school. But it's just going to get tougher and tougher to stand and for what you believe in regard to Jesus Christ. And they're going to shoot Christians. They just might as well shoot me. Because there's just no way am I going to deny it. But there are going to be many who will. Okay, let's get to work on Romans 3. And verse 1 had two questions. What advantage has the Jew? And the second one, what advantage is circumcision? Verse 2. So verse 1, then what advantage has a Jew? What benefit is circumcision? Verse 2 answers the questions. Great advantage. Great in every respect. Great advantage in every respect. First of all, they are entrusted with the oracles of God. That is, with the Old Testament scriptures. So that answers that question. Then we come to verse 3 for the third question. What then? If some Jews did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? What's your view of God, people? This is just so important. Now, we spend enough time. I want to spend some more time just talking about it, reminding you, but this is the faithfulness of God. Does your unfaithfulness change the faithfulness of God? No. You've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. You grow up, and I even told them this. You grow up, and you become really smart, and you decide this whole heaven hell thing just doesn't exist, and there's no salvation, there's no anything like this, and you just outsmarted God on all of this. You haven't lost your salvation just because you even deny Jesus Christ. You cannot be unborn. Unborn. And I told him, I said, now, let's say some of your parents maybe wish you weren't their child. And one of them said, I wish I wasn't their child either. But so it doesn't change, though. You are born of those parents. We are born of God. Okay, now we're in verse 4. So let's move on into verse 4. May it never be. And we studied that in its respect. We took a study on the doctrine of the faithfulness of God. Then we took a look at the may it never be in Scripture, in Paul's writing. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou art judged. So let's just deal with now where we left off. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. When man emphasizes man, it always turns into legalism, religious legalism. When God speaks the truth about man, and reminds me, then he reminds us who and what we really are. And people, until you understand who and what you are, you're not going to appreciate his grace. If you think you're just a little better than Adolf Hitler. You're not going to understand grace till you can see yourself of all the abominable things the man did, that you're not better in the eyes of God, in the sight of God. And you and I are unbelievers, we're not better. If you think you're better, you're not going to appreciate grace until you understand, that's me, and I need to believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Rather let God be found true. That is, throughout all history of the Jews and our Gentiles, God will always be found true to His Word, true to reality, true to His plan. Though every man be found a liar, throughout all history, man has been found a liar from the garden through history. This is emphasized throughout the book of Romans. What is your view of God? We need to learn about God from this book. Okay, let's take a look. Every man be found a liar. Let me start off by saying this. This means every man. And all of us, until we accepted Christ as Savior, were a liar, because as long as you deny God, deny Jesus Christ, God's a liar. I don't need to believe in Jesus Christ. You're a liar. Period. That's it. So in that respect, every man is a liar. But let's turn to the Gospel of John 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. Very important verse in John 8. Verse 44. John 8, 44. And I'll tell you what, it was so really enlightening and encouraging to see all these young people. They had their Bibles. They had opened them up. And that we talked about using the table of content. And I told them where to look for it in their Bible. Look and see if you can find it at the front of the Bible. Don't be afraid to use that. Let's turn to it and be able to look at it. And it was just so cool. It took a few minutes for some of them to find the passages we were looking at. And that was one. I learned a lot this year in teaching. I went with a great number of verses on grace and all of this, and I only used one or two or three, and that was it. And I just wanted to be sure if they learned Ephesians 2:8, that would guide them in salvation, spirituality, and in blessings from God throughout their whole life. So we just, every time we'd go over it, and we'd hit different aspects of it, and I showed them how to analyze Scripture a little bit. That grace, and then the last point five, it is a gift from God. Grace and gift. You don't earn a gift. It's given freely. And we just had a good time. And so the importance of the Bible and understanding it. All right, John 8, and we look at verse 44. You are all, now he's speaking predominantly to the Jews, but he's speaking to all people. You are of your father, the devil, and you desire to do the desires of your father. Now they claim that God was their father, but he wasn't. Their father was the devil, and they desired to do the desires of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now that has two aspects with it. One, of course, most people take that as referring to the garden when Cain murdered Abel. But for those who understand what happened in the prehistoric world, the murdering that went on there, so he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Now, what did we just have in Romans 3? We had, let God be found true. And opposite to that, there is no truth in Satan, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, it's a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is a description of Satan. And so when you follow him instead of following Jesus Christ, you're going to speak lies. All right, let's go back to Romans. Romans 3. Every man, every member of the human race, be found a liar. Now, as to the word liar, this does not mean in the sense everyone just lies all the time. There are some women who have all their experience with men, they think men are naturally all liars. Well, a lot of them may lie, a lot of them may lie at certain times, but it doesn't mean that you just, every time you open your mouth, you're lying, but your stand is a lie. your stand against God, against Jesus Christ, against the Holy Spirit is a lie. So it means that we're all basically dishonest. This is one of the most important things you've got to realize about yourself. We're basically, fundamentally dishonest. And in our study of the flesh nature, continually being corrupted, incurably sick, more deceitful, lies, full of evil, lies, insane, divorced from reality, therefore lies. This is just culminates who and what we are, those things. And that's who and what every one of us are in the flesh. Some people learn to control various aspects of it. Some people learn to control other aspects of it. We like that in society. We like it that our neighbor basically respects our property, basically respects our privacy. But basically, fundamentally to God, we're all desperately wicked. We're all in need of Him and the Spirit. So let's note a few things in closing. One, every person born into the human race is born spiritually dead. This is the exception of Jesus Christ, of course, because of the virgin pregnancy. But every person born into the human race is born spiritually dead. And we had to talk about that with the kids, the young people. And we saw a passage where we're dead in sin. What does it mean to be dead? What does that mean? And this was a whole new concept. Totally new concept to a lot of these young people. To think in the spiritual realm. We spend time in learning. You got to learn to be able to put concepts together and understand the concepts that you put together. And some of them started getting with me on doing that. But every person born in the human race is spiritually dead. Simply stated, that means you can't have a relationship with God. Spiritually dead, God is spirit. Can't have a relationship with Him. Point two, when people refuse to believe in God or refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, they're liars. They're liars. God doesn't exist. There is no God. There is no heaven. It's a lie. Three, when a believer refuses to acknowledge sins, 1 John 1:8, he is in effect is trying to make God a liar by lying about himself. I don't sin. It's a lie. We're all basically sinners. Four, when one who does believe in Jesus Christ refuses to believe in the Holy Spirit by faith alone, he's a liar. I can do something else. I can confess sins and I can be filled with the Spirit. I can repent and be filled with the Spirit. It's a lie. You're a liar. You're divorced from truth. You're like the last thing in the five characteristics of our flesh nature. You're insane. What is insane? Divorced from reality. That's a fundamental way we define someone who's insane. They don't understand what society's about, how to act, how to dress. So, five, when a believer is out of the filling of the Spirit, in the flesh nature, he is fundamentally dishonest. He may think he's wonderful, fundamentally dishonest. Dishonest in the true realm of his spiritual life. Doesn't mean he lies to his parents, husband, wife, work, all that. He's dishonest about reality. Alright? Six, when any one believer or unbeliever denies his true flesh nature, he's fundamentally dishonest. Seven, but the dishonesty of man does not cancel out the faithfulness of God. Doesn't cancel out his faithfulness. And you need to remember this, not only in your relationship with God, but in your relationship with each other. That because someone hurt you, lied to you, dishonest to you, that does not cancel God's faithfulness to them. Therefore, what you want to do is instead of maligning, slandering them, telling everybody about them, you want to use your efforts to get them back into the filling of the Holy Spirit. Get them back into the relationship with God. God is faithful to them. And you want to be happy about that because that means He's faithful to us. So, This is a fundamental nature of all of us. We're fundamentally liars. God is true. When it comes down to what you think, what God thinks, guess who wins? God. Because we're fundamentally liars. Okay, we'll pick it up here. I'm sorry we didn't get to spend much time, but I do not regret the time we spent with the young people and just be in prayer for them, both all of them at camp and those that are involved in this assembly. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this assembly. Place where we can come, worship together, who are like-minded. We thank you for the young children, the young people that come here. Pray, Father, that we can pick up a commitment to them, have some things set aside for them. We know circumstances limit all that we can do, but what we can do, we should be doing. So pray, Father, that your Spirit will guide some of the adults here to maybe tap into their own spiritual gift in some way, doing something with the young people. These are the future. Most of us are not the future. These young people are the future. They're the ones who have to fight day in and day out at school, where God is not to be mentioned. Jesus Christ definitely not to be mentioned. Where the world accepts the Muslim religion as truth. They have a battle, Father, that is unbelievable. Not even to mention drugs and sex. So many things they have to combat to dirty their souls, dirty their bodies, lower them. Father, we pray that the ones that we are responsible for here, that we will not neglect. Pray you'll take the things now that we've seen, have them lay a foundation in our soul that will be seen in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.